Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord, everybody. Tell me about the greatest couple of all time, Mitch and Alicia Glover. Pastor Glover. And man, I'm so thankful to be here and be a part of the celebration. 50 years is such an accomplishment. Less than 6% of marriages make it that far. And they've got many, many, many years to go. And I thank God for how he puts people together. And it is a miracle when God makes somebody one. It requires God to make somebody one. And that's the glory of the spiritual side of a brother marrying sister. That's what Abraham and Sarah represented. And that's what we have here is a brother that marries a sister in the family of God, and there's such a spiritual union there that it's unmatched in anything that you could ever have in a marriage in the world. There's no such thing as the quality of marriage by dedication, by faithfulness, never cheat on each other. You're always there for each other, but you're not in church, not even close. It's a spiritual thing. God makes you one. And when God makes you one, it makes it impossible to yank apart because you are not just husband and wife, you're brother and sister. And that's in the family of God. And that's what Abraham and Sarah showed us with the half-brother, half-sister relationship. And that's what Isaac and Rebecca, second cousins, and whatever Jacob and Rachel and Leah are. It's one family. And in the spiritual kingdom of God, there's just an unbelievable legacy that they leave behind. And I'm thankful that I have such parents that are in such love with each other. And it's the little things that they do. My dad gets up, makes breakfast. My mom irons his clothes. They have one bacon, one toast, one egg. Every morning, not some mornings, every morning. And then you couldn't ask my dad to iron pants or a shirt. As intelligent and talented as my dad is, he doesn't know how to iron, but my mom does. And they fill in the gaps for each other, and it's just they've always done it, and it's just always been amazing. And I'm thankful for that. And that was such anointed Fackler family singing. Thank you for that. That was very powerful. All my family here, I love my beautiful girls up here in the front. I'm so proud of them and my beautiful wife. Praise God. And of course, my brother and Megan and the beautiful kids. And I'll talk about that probably Thursday or the next Sunday. But if you have your Bibles, 24 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. And I'm going to preach really, really simple, and I'm going to preach really, I'm preaching for a move of God is what I'm preaching for. I'm preaching for somebody in this room, what the Fackers were singing about, what we've been singing about, that there's nothing that can compare, nothing that will not tremble in the presence of Jesus Christ. And then trust, you're putting your hope on him, and you're believing in him, but you're not believing for him sometime. Today, right here, right now. Praise God. You begin to open up your mind and you begin to open up your heart. Great job, Sister Nichols. You begin to open up your heart for something. Something. Isn't that an amazing thing in John chapter 8 or 9 that we had studied with Sister Nichols, that God never said, you do this, you'll be healed. He said nothing about a miracle. He just said, go wash. That's it. Go wash. No, and if you do it, such and such. No, go wash. And all of that was in the obedience to that word, go. You never know what's in store for you when you start obeying the Holy Ghost and the voice of the Lord. And you step out. How do you walk when you're blind? Who knows how he made it there? He made it there. The Lord will never not allow for whatever he's sending you on or promised you to do and be. He'll never not empower you. But no promise. No, hey, do this. You're going to have the greatest miracle of all time. No, go wash. And he came seeing. I don't know what you're going to leave, but Somebody in this room here today is going to come seeing. That's coming back to the family, and you're, I got eyeballs I didn't have before, or I've got a new heart. I've got a brand new mind. I've got a miracle in my spirit. I let go of whatever. I received something else. I took off. I put on whatever. Whatever. But there's something for you in this room here today. Something for you. Praise God. So Genesis 24, and I'm not going to get into the bride details and the and all that. I'm gonna jump in the middle of the story here. Verse number 41. Well, verse number 40. Verse number 39. How about we back up to 39 here? It's starting to look too good to me. Now I better quit. 39 says, and this is a servant who does not have a name. And he remains unnamed. He's not Eliezer. There was one servant that Abraham had that was named Eliezer. This is not Eliezer. This is nobody. This is a servant. We can't put a name on what God didn't put a name on. We could guess, but no. This is an unnamed individual many, many, many years after Eliezer's named. Many years later, Isaac's 37 years old right now, and so Genesis 15 is when we're introduced to Eliezer. So we can't put a name here because his name doesn't matter. As he is trying to convince somebody to marry his master's son, Isaac's name's not mentioned to the people. He says it in prayer, but he doesn't say it to them. That name doesn't matter. The only name that matters here, I said unto my master, this is verse 39, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, here's the name that matters, the Lord. Because he swore an oath in the name of the Lord. And he swore an oath in the name of the Lord, the God, this is verse 3, of heaven and the God of earth. That you take an oath like that serious. You swear an oath in the name of the Lord God of heaven and of earth. And he put his hand under Abraham's thigh, a very intimate moment. This is a very serious matter. It's a covenant thing. What we do know about this guy, we do not know his name. We know he's circumcised. So you've got somebody who's living in a covenant he wasn't born into. He knows about covenant. And so he prays to God and he said, hey, God, I want you to show yourself kind or good and faithful. Those are covenant words. It's loving kindness and faithfulness. That's what a covenant God is. And he gives them some parameters and they're all filled. And so he begins to worship. Now he's at the house of Rebekah. Bethuel, her father, Laban is the audience. And he's telling them what's happened. The Lord before whom I walk, this is Abraham's words, he's recounting them, will send his angel with you, and he will prosper your way. Look, all the maybes here. I'm hoping this happens. I just, you know what? If you get killed on the way, my bad. None of that. This will happen. I'm talking about somebody speaking in the name of the Lord God of heaven and earth. And then shalt thou be clear from this my oath. If she doesn't want to go, then you're clear from the oath you swore. It's dismissed. When you come unto my kindred, if they don't give you somebody, you're also clear. These right here are two parameters that will dissolve a covenant oath. I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. I like that because he becomes the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And this is one of the first times you're going to hear him being called the Lord God of my master Abraham. He's speaking in that covenant name that is going to last forever, according to Exodus 3:15. He tells him some things. And then he says in verse number 49, tell me truly. If you're going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me. Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing proceedeth from the Lord. What does it matter what we think? We cannot speak unto you bad or good. Here's Rebekah. Take her. Go. Let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. He worships. They have a party. He gets up in the morning. How many of you know that many, many, many things change the morning after an awesome service? What did I say? Did I say I was going to? No. What did I pledge? You get caught up in the moment. You wake up in the morning and you're like, did I say that out loud? $50,000? In the morning. Here's what they said. The Bible said that it's this time it's the brother and the mother. Let her abide with us a few days, at least 10, and then she's going to go. So this isn't saying no, but this is the biggest problem. They're saying later. He said, don't hinder me. God's prospered me. They say, we'll go ahead and ask her what she wants. No information. Rebecca's got no information about this guy, about what's going to happen, about any of it. And they ask her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. That's powerful. Go ahead and be seated. I will go. That's what I want to preach. I want to preach, will you? Will you? Will you? You've got to understand something about, and I'm sure you do understand it, but the power of covenant. Covenants, they are made with sworn oaths. Whether it's two people or whether it's God and people, it's a sworn oath. And many times, at least a few times, it's God playing both sides of the covenant, fulfilling our part and fulfilling his part. That's what he does with Abraham. That's what he does with us in the new covenant. He fulfills both roles, both sides. He's the man and he's God. He died the death and he's got the eternal life. He's both sides of the covenant. It's paid in full already. And there's something about covenants. They come with promises. And the Bible said the covenant that we're a part of has got better promises. Better promises. And so you think about the words of God in relation to covenant, in relation to oaths, in relation to God swearing. Scripture says that when the Lord looks around, there's nobody he can swear by greater. And so the Bible says in Hebrews, he swore by his own name. He put himself there and said, I swear by myself. Blessing, I'm going to bless you, multiply, I'm going to multiply. Quoting from Genesis 22, that great moment with angelic interruption. But those words are powerful. When he speaks a covenant to David, the words that he speaks to David, all of them come to pass. David has no words involved. He's told, I will build you a house. I'm going to be a father to your son. I'll never remove my mercy from you like I did from Saul. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. This David's not a part of this. God's a part of this. And all of it's come to pass. The words that are sworn, the words that are spoken are so much, so powerful and so to us encouraging that the Bible says strong consolation to us. What's strong consolation to us? Two things. The Bible said his sworn oath and his promise. His sworn oath and his promise. And you begin to recognize that when we look at this great Bible of faith, the people that are listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith, so to speak, all from Genesis except for Moses and Joshua and beyond with Rahab, but the majority of them are from Genesis. And when you read about this group of people, you're not reading about hard workers for the kingdom of God. You're looking at believers. You're looking at people that are dying, and that's when their faith is exercised and written about as they're dying. As they're dying. Hey, think about that, because you got nothing left. The next thing for you is death. The next thing for Jacob, pulls his feet into his bed, it's over. Next thing for Isaac, he's blind. He feels like he's dying. He prophesies over his boys. Joseph, as he's dying, says, bring my bones out of Egypt. I want you to think about that, because the greatest acts of faith right there have nothing at all to do with human power or human works. Isaac's blind, so is Jacob. Joseph dying. Here you've got this great example of faith, and the Bible said that by faith, Abraham, he goes out, and the Bible said, did not know where he was going. That is faith, isn't it? When you're saying, I just believe, and I do not know what, and where, and I don't know all the details of it, but I know me and God have something going on, and I choose to believe the word of God. I choose to believe in the blessing of God. And you recognize that really, it's all on God. His word, it's his power. Not one word of his, the Bible said, does not have its own power to fulfill what it says. That's what it means when it says nothing is impossible with God. Not one word of God is without its own power to fulfill itself. That's why you can be dead and you can look at your dead body and you can consider your wife's dead womb and hope. It doesn't matter, does it? Because God gave me a word, and I don't have human hope. I've got a spiritual hope. And it's a hope I'm acting on right now. And it's a hope that the Bible tells us brings forth a miracle child out of deadness, out of impossibility. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that hope deferred. It makes the heart sick. You know what that doesn't mean? It doesn't mean you don't get what you're hoping for. It means you're holding off on hoping. You're deferring hope. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm not going to believe that today's my day. I'm not going to believe that that's my word. I'm not going to get my hopes up. And the Bible said hope deferred makes the heart sick. You got to understand that hope is powerful only if it's got the right object. And that object has got to be our God and our Savior. You can't hope and trust in people. You can't hope and trust in mechanics. You can't hope and trust in religion. You can't hope and trust in your own self. You've got to put your hope on Him. And that is a hope that never lets you down. You'll never be ashamed. But don't defer your hope because it makes your heart sick. How many times have you prayed for that and it didn't happen? How many times have you believed for this and it didn't happen? How many times does somebody come and ask Rebecca to marry him? How many young men want her hand in marriage? How many times have people tried and it didn't work? Or maybe nobody's trying, but today there's something different going on. Today, God is doing something on two ends at the same time. He's working in Rebecca, and he's working through the voice of Abraham and the faith of this servant. And this servant has sworn an oath. And the oath that he swore was, I won't bring Isaac back to where you came from. I'm going to get a woman. I'm bringing her here. He will not marry somebody from Canaan. He's marrying somebody from your father's house. Swore that. And then he said, but what happens if she says she won't go? Then she's not she. Abraham said, you find somebody that doesn't want to go, I'm willing to revoke this covenant. That's something I don't have power over. I cannot make her go. But that does not change the fact that he's not going and God's got a wife for my son. I believe it's going to be in my house, my father's house, where my brother Nahor lives in Haran. That's where Isaac and Jacob get their wives from. But if she doesn't go, that doesn't mean it wasn't a covenant. That means that's something a covenant has no power to overcome. If you don't desire, that's what Paul's writing to that church in Hebrews about. He's telling them, we believe greater things for you. We do. You don't, but we do. And what we're hoping for is that you begin to believe for those things. Things that accompany salvation. Oh, salvation, such a great salvation. I'm so thankful for great salvation where God allows for somebody who is born in sin, shape, and iniquity to come to an altar. And there's a change and a transformation in water baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues, the promises unto you, but 3,000 people are baptized in the city of Jerusalem where they're guesstimating a whole lot more people are there. But it's for you and for all those that are far off. But we don't see all those and we don't see all you. But the problem is the problem isn't with the promise and the problem isn't with the covenant. The promise is in the hoper. The promise is in the receiver. I mean, the problem is in the receiver. That's where he says, what if she doesn't go? I know there's going to be problems. What if she doesn't go? Then you're clear from your oath. Dismissed. And that's where he comes to this woman who's miraculously doing unbelievable work for camels, 300 gallons of water, all that. And she's from the right house, and he begins to worship and thank God for his covenant faithfulness. He's not forsaken Abraham. He's still a covenant God to Abraham. You're talking about a circumcised servant who's also in covenant. And he comes to the house and he tells these people, tell me right now, are you going to be true with me or not? Because the problem is that maybe she won't go, but we know that's not the problem. And the other problem is maybe you won't give her. That's not the problem. We're going to get to the problem. And so they say, what are we going to say? We can't say bad or good. This is from the Lord. Rebecca's here before you. Take her and go. Oh, let's celebrate. That's what they do. They celebrate for a while. Wake up in the morning. And he runs into something him and Abraham didn't discuss. And that is, I'm not saying no. We're saying someday. 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 I want you to know that there is something so amazing about later. There is something so amazing about that. I'm not saying no. Do you think you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I do. Would you like to come pray for it later? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Well, I see that in Scripture. Would you like to be baptized later? Later. Have you repented of it? Later. Would you like that miracle? That later. Later. Someday. That right there is a problem. Because he's talking to a group of people with covenant words and covenant promises, which means it's all on the swearers of the oath. And they swore in the name of the Lord, just like God swore by himself. Because there was nobody greater, so it was on him to make sure they had children. The Bible said they were like the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Everything did come to pass because it was all on him. And impossible circumstances, by the way, in bondage is where they begin to multiply. In the worst of places is where they begin to multiply, and because it was on God, not on people. I want you to know that's the same thing with the promise of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. It's a promise. Can you believe that? You don't have to have a strategy for a promise. You just have to have a group of people that don't say later. Later. They're not ready yet. Later. Not the first time they come to church. Later. It's not Rebecca. Rebecca hadn't even been asked yet if she's willing to go. And we know she says, yes, I will go. That's what she says, I will go. But she's not asked right now. It's mama and it's brother that are speaking. You see the problem? In the beginning, it was father and brother who said, this proceeds from the Lord. But now we've introduced another side of the equation who was not there at that dinner, who did not stand up and say, no, we can't say nothing about this, bad or good. This proceeds from the Lord. Go take her. Mama wasn't there. She's there now. Daddy's not there. You've introduced somebody who wasn't there during that move of God you just had. Where you were overwhelmed and you as idolaters begin to speak the name of Jehovah. That's a miracle. But you've got somebody who wasn't there. But they're speaking on behalf of people that are called. They're called. How many of you have been married before? That woman could say me. Later, though, for my daughter. How many of us could say we've received the gift of the Holy Ghost? And then we say later for you. Hey, you want to know something? I got a miracle. But hey, hold up. Not saying no. Later. Give us some time here. We're ready. We're not ready right now to let go of her. I want you to know something about that. That's a bondage that comes upon people in the kingdom of God, just as it does come upon this house in this setting. Because we can say no for people who we haven't even given them an opportunity to respond. Oh, they never want this. They would never want to be a part of the kingdom of God. They'd never want to take part of this. They wouldn't want to be apostolic. Why would they want to talk in tongues? Or why would they want to get rebaptized? Or why would, and we speak for people and we've not let them speak. Can you imagine that? We can do that without saying anything at all. We can do that by saying, all right, we're not going to push when we pray. We're not going to take this service like it's somebody's last service. We're not going to take this service like if you leave here, this is your last opportunity. You could die in a car wreck. We're not going to take it that serious. We'll just have good church. Come on, so we'll just have some church is what we'll have. Why? Why? Because we're good. That's why we're good. Laban's married, Mama's married. We're good. Can you imagine that right there? Can you imagine what's hanging on the balance as these people are saying, not now? Well, Brother Glover, you didn't preach on the Holy Ghost. You don't need to preach on the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. You don't got to be a stud at praying somebody through the Holy Ghost. You don't even need to be there to pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost. It's a promise to them, just like it was to you. If you need a strategy, it's because you don't believe the covenant. You don't believe the covenant God swore by himself. The new covenant was done by himself. The man's side and the God's side. He swore by his own death. This is the end of the new. This is the bringing in, the establishing. The end of the old. This is the bringing in and establishing of the new. Who said? I said. There's a new and living way through my flesh. What do we got to do? Believe. What do we got to do? Have boldness. What do we got to do? Have boldness. That's what Hebrews is saying. It's time for you to start an imitation of people that know how to inherit promises. Because that's what it's about. You're inheriting a promise. It wasn't even your idea, was it? It wasn't you that said, I sure would like the Spirit of God in me. That was God's idea. It ain't on you. All you've got to do is believe God's word is true. And that promise is unto you. And the scripture said here that hey, let's give us 10 days at least. Praise God. 10 days at least. Why? Because they're new. We're talking no New Testament in Acts chapter 2. They don't even have Acts 2:38. They're preaching it. They're creating it. There's no New Testament. We got the New Testament, but they're not ready. They're not. Why would they want this yet? I start believing nobody wants it because I don't like what I got. I don't think it's the best thing on planet Earth. Later. That's all he's doing is inviting her into a move of God. The Lord God has greatly blessed my master, and he's given him riches and a son, and I'm looking for somebody to marry him. It's an ongoing move of God. There's great things in store here. She's getting ready to become the first woman to have twins. What a blessing, huh? Standing ovation for Rebecca. She's going to be the first prophetic woman in the scripture. She's got an utterance she gets from an oracle. She gets a word from God that's a word of promise. Elder's going to serve the younger. Never changes. The elder's going to serve the younger. Two nations are in your womb. And what things happen in Rebecca are outstanding. But right now, none of that's possible. Because we're not even going to let her speak. I decided already, service is over. How did I decide service was over? I'm done going after God. I believe I'm maxed out, you understand? My cup's running over. I'm so drunk in the Holy Ghost and all of that. And the Bible tells us that there's no measure to our God. That you can try to get in there and get into the measure, but you won't be able to comprehend it. And you got to get all the saints, but all the saints from all the ages, and you still can't comprehend it because Jesus Christ fills all in all. He fills all in all. In other words, what I'm filled with is surely not all in all. Whatever I've been baptized with is not that. There's always more, more, more. And there's something, my friend, you've got to get a hold of today. You are never done being you.
You're the one being called to something more. You're the one being called to believe. You're the one being called to step out, and you don't know what's getting ready to happen, but you just know I am challenged by God, and there's something. He never, never fails. Praise God. You don't need a word of faith when you've got a word of promise. You don't need a word of faith when you've got a word of promise. Don't hinder me. You understand me? The Lord's prospering my way. Oh, I just believe there's just something about that. There's something about the moment. There's something about Pastor Glover, the wealth of knowledge he's got in the scripture, the amount of time he's got on planet Earth preaching, and then the shorter amount of time he's got left to preach. And there's no accident on Sunday when he preaches what he preaches. It's the word for the moment, not for the audience online. For the moment. I want you to know something that I notice. And I've got one of my favorite singers, and whenever I'm there in person, it's like, when I watch her online, it's like, she can't even sing. She literally is off tune all the time. And the preacher's messing up his words. But when I'm there, it's like, that was the greatest preaching. Because that's the difference between for now and for whoever's listening online. If you're here, there's something for you. If you're not, you're missing it. You got to be here for it. That's the whole point. You've got to be in the audience for it. And so understand, Pastor Glover, the amount of things he could preach that God's not ever let him preach. The revelation, he could peel the paint off the sides of the walls, but God gave him a word to preach, and he's in the pulpit preaching stuff. And I want you to know it's for you now. It's a now thing. It's a challenge for, God's got something for you, and it's not for later. It's for today. It's not for sometime. It's for right now, and you get that challenge. Will you go? Praise God, will you go? And that's something he wasn't counting on. He wasn't counting on, yes, but later. Don't hinder me, he said. Don't hinder me. Why don't you want to hinder me? Because the Lord's prospered my way. Yeah. What do you mean the Lord's prospered your way? Before he was done praying, the answer was there. So he had to stop praying. Because you don't need to keep praying when the answer shows up. You got to understand how to receive a miracle as well as pray for a miracle. He prayed for it, and before he was done praying, here she comes. And the Bible said he ran to her. I'm talking that this is a moment where God answered my prayer before I was done praying. I'm not going to keep praying. I got to learn how to receive a miracle. I've got to learn how to believe that God answers my prayer. Praise God. The Bible said, if you ask what's going to happen, you ask, you shall. Hallelujah. What's that preacher like? Maybe. No. Some of you might. I bet you I could quote that scripture and never ever have faith. I could just say that all day long, asking you shall receive, and just go on doing whatever I was doing. No babies there, asking you shall receive. Can you imagine if your faith was at that level? At the level of his word, not at the level of your assumptions, and not at the level of your feelings, and not at the level of your emotions, but the level of his word. If your faith was at the level of his word, when you went to ask, you'd be looking for it before you were done praying. You'd be looking for the answer. Well, I prayed so many times, I bet you've never prayed with faith. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, if you need wisdom, ask God. He gives it to you liberally. But you better pray in faith. He said, don't think if you pray without faith, you get anything. Don't let that man think he's going to receive wisdom. Because you got to pray with faith. He said, I'll give it to you liberally. I need wisdom. God, where's it at? I'm not going to go to a book, and I'm not going to go to the internet. I'm going to receive what I asked for. That's asking in faith. Asking without faith is you call somebody else up and ask them their opinion, and then call somebody else up and ask them their opinion. But if you're asking God for wisdom and you're receiving that good gift that comes from above, you're going to ask in faith and receive. The Bible didn't say, hey, if you know how to pray. No, not you. Maybe some of you. Oh, I know you need a miracle. Have you fasted for 40 days? Well, that wasn't a condition of the covenant, was it? And if it was, he did it. So he fulfilled it. So the covenant side for fasting fulfilled. Well, how many hours did you pray? Well, what did the Bible say about how many hours I should pray? Oh, it didn't? Okay. What the Bible said is ask and you shall receive. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, will you go? Don't speak. I'm going to answer for you later. I got a few more Bible studies I need to teach you. Actually, what we need is we need Brother Jesse to come here. You know what I bet you? I'll bet you the 15th, how to pray people through the Holy Ghost seminar is what Connect Point needs. Because we sure don't believe it's a promise. We got to get some calculations going on here. I want you to know there's something about fearing God. That you're having it exemplified here. You have it exemplified by Abraham. I know you fear God. Why do you know I fear God? Because you just told me a chapter before, in Isaac, my seed's going to be called. There's no way he can die. If he dies, there's no way he can stay dead. Because I believe your word, you're not messing. And so if Isaac dies on that mountain, what you said to me was a lie. So I'm not even worried about it. Matter of fact, I believe if I burn you up, you're going to get resurrected. That's what he said. The Bible said he wasn't crying, he wasn't weeping, he wasn't worried. Not even talking. When he talks faith. Now I know you fear God. Why do you know? Because I believe your word. That's what the Bible said. Abraham, what did he do? He believed God. Not in God. Believe God. There's something about understanding that. You believe in God, believe in me. I want you, that's where faith begins, not in the mouth, in the person. It begins in the divine nature. He believed God. If I believe God, I'll believe everything he says. That part is taken care of. If I believe God and he says you must, I'm not going to negotiate it. If God commands me to do something, I believe God, I will do it. If I don't do it, it shows I don't fear God. Because to fear God is to have a reverence for his word. Because you believe who he is. If you believe God and he tells you whatever he tells you, I want you to know it's never going to contradict what he just told you. So go up to that mountain and just get ready to kill. He pulled back that knife to slay Isaac. Not messing around. The angel had to stop him from doing it. And he wasn't worried about it. He believed in a resurrection. That's what it's like, my friend, to be this servant standing there under the authority of the name of the Lord and his master Abraham, who's got a covenant that he's a part of. And you're declaring to people, don't hinder me. Why? The angel of the Lord's with me. Why? I'll tell you why the angel of the Lord is with me. I didn't do this. He prospered my way. He prospered my way. Man alive, that sounds to me like that's a whole lot on God and not much on him. That's just a whole lot on God and not much on us. He gave a promise. It will come to pass for you, especially if he used the word you. When he says every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the removal of your sins. Oh, you talk about an opportunity for transformation. Will you be baptized? That's the question. That's the promise to every single person. Will you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What's it for? The remission of your sins. Will you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Because there's nothing. Why wouldn't you want it? It's a promise from God. There's a promise from God. If you give, he'll outgive you. He'll outdo you. He'll bless you spiritually. He'll bless you physically, soul, spirit. There's no limit to the blessing coming back to you. I want you to know there's something about understanding this. This right here is not on me. And it surely wasn't on Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. because they didn't even have it yet. I'm talking about a Gentile. Luke wrote that book. Dr. Luke wrote that book, a Gentile. He, in volume, wrote over half of the New Testament himself in two books. The promises unto you. Oh, isn't that amazing? And then you start saying, will you? The Bible said, will you? And with many words, the scripture said, he began to exhort them, save yourself. Why are you doing that, Peter? Because I've got to go beyond the promise, and I've got to get into a place where I convince people God's that good for you. God's that good for you. Save yourself from this untoward generation. I want you to know it's the best thing. We begin to convince people, if you believe God at the level of his promise, in a moment when you begin to pray for the Holy Ghost, you speak with tongues, you'd be baptized already. God promised healing. God, how many things did God promise? And it comes down to, there's a move of God going on in Sterling, Alaska. Will you? Will you go? Not knowing nothing, not even his name. Will you go? Don't ask. Don't tell Mary she's not able. Don't tell Mary she doesn't want to. Hey, did you see Mary check it out with Joseph and see if it was okay? She's like, this ain't on me. And if Joseph wants to be a part of it, so be it. But I'm not even going to tell him about it. I'm just going to Elizabeth's house. How old are you, Mary? I'm definitely not old. Can you imagine us today saying, hey, Sierra, would you like to get praying with the Holy Ghost? I'd say, later. Would you like to prophesy later? Later. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Someday. Someday. You understand, the kids got a junior Holy Ghost. We got the adult Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, no, it's the same Holy Ghost. And you got some kind of a weird relationship going on now where it's not just your daughter, it's your sister. Joseph, those are your boys and your brothers. When he crossed his arms. That's what God does, crazy stuff like that. Will you go? Come on, Rebecca. There's so much here that's waiting for the response, and they don't even let her. Don't hinder me. Say, all right, we'll ask her. I will go. Just like that. I will go. We get towards the end of the service to the message part, and we start getting nervous. All right. I know they don't want it. Why don't we scare them to the altar? Why don't we require them to believe God's word? That's all that's required. There's nothing more required. If you don't get that, if you don't get it there, your faith doesn't stand. Your faith cannot stand in the wisdom of men. I'll tell you what altar strategy is wisdom of men. Scare tactics, Richard Hurd. Wisdom of men. 3,000 people get the Holy Ghost and then go right out the back door, never to be seen again. Your faith standing in the wisdom of men. Paul said, I didn't even come with fancy words like I am here today, but with the power of God's what he said. Why? I don't want your faith standing in me. It can only stand on the power of God. So we require people to believe. We believe God in Sterling. We don't believe it's an almost some of you if it says every one of you. I'm done now. Brother Glover, I saw the other day in Acts 4:12 when it says that neither is there salvation in any other, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must. It's not the must on you. It's that is the absolute only outcome. That's the only outcome that can happen. Saved. There's no salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby. And it's the absolute condition. The outcome is set. Must be saved. Not going to kind of get better. Must be saved. The only outcome. Can you imagine that? That must happen? Good. Now you talk about wanting to get baptized again. You want to talk about wanting to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I got some stuff that needs to be saved, and the absolute only outcome is that. There's no you go down wet and you come up, or you go down get wet, you come up, you're still. No, you must be saved. That's what the Bible said. There's no other outcome given in that name. Anyone else's name, maybe, not that name. You must be saved. That's a promise, my friend, to every single person that's never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. Salvation. You're coming out of that saved. Oh, that makes me feel good about leaving church when I know everybody's been to the water and everybody's already been baptized. That makes me feel good about getting on these icy roads where anything can happen. I want you to know I'm not comfortable anymore playing church and allowing for people to leave the house of God without there being an opportunity to answer a call. Will you go? Will you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? Will you be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ? Will you be healed? Will you be delivered? Will you be set free? Praise God. Will you? I will go. I'm a fast forward to another story. If you could come to the keyboard. She doesn't go alone. Bible said her nurse goes. I'll go too. Her nurse says, I'll go too. I want to take you to a moment where the family's in disarray. Dinah's been raped, avenged. Jacob's got fear. And the Lord says, go up to Bethel and make an altar to the God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of your brother Esau. What does he say? To his whole family, bring me your God. You're talking to the family of God, right? The Bible said they start coming, taking stuff off. Other images. And they're giving them to Jacob. I would never think they had anything. Would you? I wouldn't think Greg French you needed something. He reads his Bible so much. I wouldn't think he needs deliverance of any sort. They start bringing their God. Earrings, rings, other images, other gods. He commands them to change their garments. They washed themselves. The whole house heads up to Bethel. And before they do, Jacob starts digging. He starts digging under the roots of an oak tree in Shechem. Bible said there he buried all their gods. What's the name of that oak? It's not named. Buried. Scripture said they went up to Bethel. The terror of God's on all the nations. He gets up there and he makes an altar. The whole family's with him. It's that El Bethel moment. And then the scripture says out of nowhere, his nurse, Deborah, dies. The nurse who left a pagan world with Rebecca. She, if you add up her years, she'd be the oldest woman in the Bible. We just don't know how old she is, but Jacob's over, he's over 100 years old himself. She left and took 20 years to get pregnant. And then all of Jacob's years, Sarah was 127. That's the oldest woman in the Bible. But this woman, Deborah, she'd be older. But the scripture said she dies in Bethel. And what they did is they buried her under the house of God. They buried Deborah under the house of God. What happens next? Beloved Rachel. She dies giving birth. Makes the grave, puts a pillar over the top of her grave. I want you to know that Rachel left her dad's house with teraphims. Who knows about the nurse Deborah? We just know she was raised in idolatry. But there was a moment. We don't know who's getting ready to die in a few days. But there's a call from Jacob. I'm not going to take a chance. Bring me your gods. I don't know if he's expecting a bunch of people. But Rachel's got gods. I don't know what Deborah's got, but she's from another world. But I know they both die in a couple of days. But there's a God moment where they're not buried with their idols. They're not, you're buried at the house of God, buried underneath the pillar, Rachel's pillar to this day, a prophesying pillar. The voice of Rachel, you hear it all the way in Matthew chapter 2. That's a prophesying pillar. But where are those gods at? Under some tree not named in Shechem. Buried before it was too late. Because that's our God. He's that good. Can you imagine? He said, it was my sorrow she died by me. What kind of sorrow are we talking about if she dies with idols? Nope. God said, come now. Come now. That call from God was not initiated by Jacob. It was initiated by a God who knows who's up next. I'm going to give you a chance to get clean before it's too late. Will you go? Oh, I stand with me, please. I just feel like I got to challenge somebody in this room, everybody in this room. I got to challenge the Abbots. I got to challenge the Walkers. I've got to challenge Bishop Blackshear. I've got to challenge anybody. Anybody who's getting... I remember Bishop Blackshear told me when he went to the bedside of Brother Carnley. Brother Carnley, are you ready?
Yeah, are you sure?
Are you sure there's nothing? Talking to Brother Carnley? Yeah, because you don't play games at deathbeds. That's always somber at a hospital. Because somebody's time's up. And that's how it is in every service, whether you're going to die spiritually or die physically. When we leave this place, this moment here, never again. Never again. There's a window open at every service. You don't get it online. You only get it when you're here. And there's a call that if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we're telling you it's not a good thing for you. It's a commanded thing. We're telling you it's an issue. It's either you are going to die eternally or live eternally. But it's not your way. The way told us we've got to repent. Be baptized, everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because all of that's the promise to you. The promise of the Father is not the Holy Ghost. It's all of it. It's the baptism. It's the heart that's pricked. That is a miracle. Name another time their hearts are pricked. Hearts are pricked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Come on, somebody. That's a miracle when you feel conviction. It's God saying, I got it for you. I came for you. When Pastor Glover is preaching whatever he's preaching, I want you to know whether it's Thursday or Sunday, it's somebody's last moment. That moment won't ever be there again. That moment won't ever happen again. There's something that God does for the people that are there. And there's got to be something inside of all of us. This says, I want you to know we want everybody to answer the question themselves. You must be born again. Praise God. You know, up until last year, I wouldn't believe you could live in 5-degree weather. Our God has no limits. For however many hours, we'll talk about it some other service, but there's many things I never believed before. Brother Abbott, I was in Mexico, and we had a healing service. And all of us big dog preachers, we just stand on the platform. And I felt like God said, "Will you go?" And so I did. I got off the platform. I started walking around the crowd, and every single person I prayed for. It's never happened again, ever. That's the only time that's ever happened. I mean, all kinds of miracles, everything you can imagine. Never again will you go. It won't ever happen again, Greg. It never did yet. I sure hope it does. I've tried to make it a bunch of times. We're talking tumors disappearing, blind eyes open, deaf ears, whatever you can imagine. There's 50-something miracles where I touch people personally. That's never happened before or since. But God says, will you go? That's what he's saying to somebody in this room here. I don't care how long you prayed for something. It's time for you to quit deferring your hope. It's time for you to just start believing. I don't need to know everything. I don't even need to know his name. Let's go. Sign me up. I'm leaving everything 400 miles away, getting on a camel, and I'm riding to somebody I've never even seen before. That said, will you go? Nobody would ask somebody that today. And she says, I will go. You never discount what God's doing in somebody's heart. You can never discount the desire that God's putting in somebody's mind and spirit. I want to ask somebody in this room today, do you feel like God's asking you, will you go? Do you feel personally like God's saying, I've got something for you, but it's going to require you to step out. It's going to require you to act on your faith. It's going to require for you to say, sign me up for whatever it is. I don't need to come up here for something in particular, whatever. Where you going, Abraham? I don't know.
Well, you're crazy.
What's your church planning plan?
I don't know. We'd say, then you don't go.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you going to do when you get?
I don't know.
Who are you going to see, Philip? You're leaving this for that? God's bidding me to go. Bid me to come on the water. What are you talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah, the one dude to walk on water. The only person ever to walk on the water that wasn't God. Because there's a window that opens for people that are looking for it. Ask me to come. Come. Boom, he's out on that water. Walking on God's word. Walking on the covenant promises of God. It's on God. I want somebody to receive the Holy Ghost today. Oh, yeah. You'll get it the moment you come up to this altar. I believe you'll get it the moment you come to this altar. It's a promise. That's why. It's a promise. That's why we expect it every service if you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's a promise. Every prayer meeting, you don't got the Holy Ghost, it's a promise. Just you're going to speak with tongues. Go ahead and just start praying. That's what we believe. It's a promise. We just believe. Everyone wants to get baptized because it's a promise, but it's also a command, and we believe God. We believe God. Why don't you get your feelers out right here, right where you're standing. Why don't you just open up your heart to whatever's next? That's what you do when you repent. You're saying, all right, God, I changed my mind. This ain't a normal service. I changed my mind. I'm not leaving the way I came here. I've been prayed for a million times for a miracle. And the Lord said, but yeah, today's the day. I'm calling you to believe again. I'm calling you to hope. I'm calling you to go. What do you mean, God? Yo, go. That's what it is. There's a step of faith. A step of faith.
Praise the Lord. Okay, listen to me, church. I want you to get comfortable with this. I want you to get comfortable with people can elect to die lost. I want you to get comfortable with the idea that the only thing that's gonna make a covenant null and void is if they say no, or if somebody's holding them back and won't let them go. And you've got to be comfortable with that, because it isn't you, because it's not your promise and it ain't your power. People are going to come in here. Some are going to say, yes, sign me up. Some are going to choose to die lost. And you've got to be ready for that, because there's coming a day when the Lord's going to let everybody that's left die lost. There's coming a day. That's the covenant God that we serve. We revere him so much. We take his word serious. And if you reject it, you reject it. It doesn't make it not true. It doesn't make it not good. And if we believe it a certain way, but not in faith, we need to repent of faith towards God. That's that first step in better things. Things that accompany salvation, Hebrews 6, 9. Repent from dead works. Faith toward God. How about today? We decide that today I'm not going to do anything but faith towards God, which come to, towards God, you believe he is, and he becomes rewarder. So there's something. And if I just believe for healing, I'm missing out on a lot of stuff. If I'm believing for one thing and that's it over and over and over again, I'm missing out on a whole bunch of stuff. So right now, we're going to act on this. We're going to repent toward God with our faith. And if you're a believer, just if you're a believer and you're choosing God, you're calling me. I will go. And I'm coming up for something. I'm coming, whether it's a promise, I know what it is or whatever. If I'm coming after you, I'm making a move here today. I'm choosing myself. I will go. Nobody speaks for me. Nobody's going to talk for me. I'm going to choose myself. I will go. And if that's you, come up here to the front as fast as you can and lift up those hands and begin to receive from God, because it's here already. The glory of God is here already for you. Just begin to receive. Receive. Shatabarakasito. Oh, yeah. Receive. Oh yeah, that's all he needs. That's all he needs. He's the promiser. He's the worker. He's the filler. Oh, will you go? Will you believe? Will you be baptized? Will you receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, will you? Will you? Will you? Praise God, will you? From the bottom of my heart, I come for whatever. I come for whatever.
Yes, Lord.
I've come for whatever. Oh, my soul says yes. My soul says yes. Oh, it's a God thing today, friend. That's it, Sister Walker. That's it. We're receiving whatever. We're receiving whatever. I know I'm getting something. I know I'm getting something. God's not going to lie to Dad. God's not going to lie to Mom. Oh, ask, you're going to receive. Whatever, God. Shabarakatas. Oh. Quit believing for just one thing and believe for anything. I'm ready for anything. I don't need a picture. I don't need a name. I'm ready to go right now. Oh, yes, will you go?